As Fashion Week comes to an end in New York City, fashion followers may think back to the days of the elegant old department stores. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg is one of them.
I am no fashionista, but I do lament the demise of those grand emporia where you could buy blouses, towels, sofas, and baby carriages all under the same single roof. In this week's New Yorker magazine, Adam Gopnik says department stores have been replaced by shopping malls. And, Mr. Gopnik, if, as you say, those stores no longer matter, what do you think has been lost?
Oh, I think it's something enormous has been lost. Department stores, I think, are, apart from being shopping places, are institutions of trust. You know, before the department store was invented, most shopping in America was done through barter. You didn't know exactly what you were getting. You didn't even know what it would cost. A department store is one of the central institutions of trust in urban culture.
A fixed price, something that you can count on. Why do we have department stores in the first place? How come they took the place of what would have been mom-and-pop shops, I guess, or street-side vendors?
Well, they began at the end of the 19th century, after the Civil War, and grew on and on, according to the historians of retail, exactly because they could offer huge variety at a fixed price, and you could return things. If you didn't like something, if something didn't work for you, you could take it back and have it returned with a smile. We sort of expect that now, but it was a very radical idea at the time.
And in the grand days of the department store, what did it mean? It wasn't just a place that you went to buy something. It meant more than that.
Most people give John Wanamaker, in fact, credit for having seen that one of the things that would bring people in, create foot traffic, was if you turned the department store into something that didn't seem to be selling, a place that would have a grand court. The Eagle and the Philadelphia Wanamakers, where generations of people met. The first show of Cubist painting in America after the famous Armory Show was held at a Gimbel's in New York and then toured all the Gimbel's of the country. The department store's role, sponsoring parades from one end of the country to another, was essentially civic, or was disguised as civic rather than being simply commercial.
And somewhere you write that going there and spending some time was done as frequently or in the same way as going to church. That is, it was an institution you kept touching base with.
Yeah, the department store, in a sense, was a kind of a cathedral of a certain kind of American materialism, with greed on the one hand and with need on the other hand, cunningly disguised. So you weren't experiencing greed and need. You were experiencing something that looked like home.
And now you say the choice is between Kmart and Prada. Now that the grand era of the department store is over, that we no longer have individual institutions that would put what you got at Kmart together with what Prada designed.
Well, that's what the retail mavens tell us. I'm not convinced that this is true, and you can talk to other people, and I talk to some people for the piece who say the department store is like the Broadway theater. In every generation, it's dying, and in every generation, somebody finds a way to revive it. And it was only 20 years ago that Bloomingdale's, which was an entirely new kind of department store here in New York particularly, which was all about aspiration rather than about comfort. It was all about the next thing. But the everything under one roof, all in it together, Cathedral of Hope department store, that seems to belong to the 20th century past.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Adam Gopnik. His article, Under One Roof, The Death and Life of the New York Department Store, appears in this week's edition of the New Yorker magazine. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.